Dear friends in Christ, I bring you greetings in the name of Jesus from the Saints of God at University Lutheran Chapel in Boulder. Today, as we hear Jesus speaking to us, we hear him also speaking to his disciples in the upper room after Judas had left to betray him. He spoke to them of his cross and his death, and he reassured them again of his resurrection, and then he taught them what life in the Holy Spirit, the Helper, would look like after his resurrection from the dead. Of course, they did not understand, but the Holy Spirit, the Helper, whom Jesus would send from the Father, later declared it to them and guided them into all truth, as Christ says, so that we too may hear and learn and believe. For you also have received this same Holy Spirit, this same Helper. But how can you be sure? How can you know? How can you know that you have the Holy Spirit? Some people say that you can just tell. You can just tell. It's maybe a special feeling or maybe a certain confidence about the way in your thing, the way things in your life are going. But the Holy Spirit is not some Christian version of the Force. You don't just feel it. In fact, even speaking of the Spirit as an it is problematic. Is he not God? He is he. Not yet. We don't feel the Spirit flowing through us like the Force. If that were true, then you could never be sure if you had the Holy Spirit, right? You would never know for certain because we feel differently from minute to minute. Mothers, it's Mother's Day. Sometimes you just feel it. You love your kids. They're behaving. They're not fighting. They're not asking you for something. And all is great. And then the next minute, you don't feel that way. But do you love your kids? Yes. Not because of how you feel, but because they're your kids whom God has given to you to mother. And likewise, you fathers and grandparents and so forth. If you are depressed, then does that mean that you lack the Holy Spirit because you don't feel close to God at that particular moment? If your guilt is crushing and keeps you awake at night, does that mean the Holy Spirit has fled because you no longer feel the joy of salvation? But if that were true, then how could David, in the Spirit, and inspired by the Holy Spirit, say things like, "Restore unto me the joy of your salvation." David wasn't feeling it when he wrote those words, and yet we confess that he wrote them by the Holy Spirit. No. Instead of believing our feelings of whatever kind, good or ill, we believe the promises and words of God. Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will, promise, will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Are you baptized? Do you repent of your sins? Then let me tell you, you have the Holy Spirit. It's God's promise to you in his word, regardless of how you feel or what's going on in your life. Consider again, later in Acts chapter 15, they held this council in Jerusalem to resolve this false teaching that was going around that people were saying that Gentile believers in Jesus also had to keep the law of Moses and be circumcised and not eat pork and these sorts of things in order to be Christians. They had to be Jews first before they could be Christians. And there was a lot of debate about this. And then Peter stood up and it says, said to them, "Brothers, do you you know that in the early days God made a choice among you that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, who knows the heart, bore witness to them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us." You see, here Peter makes a connection and cites as proof that the Gentiles also have the Holy Spirit. The proof is that they heard the gospel and believed it. For whoever believes in Jesus has the Holy Spirit. That is only possible by the Holy Spirit. You cannot say Jesus Christ is Lord apart from the Holy Spirit. You also believe in Jesus. Therefore, you have the Holy Spirit. Again, regardless of how you feel or what's going on in your life. And Peter didn't just make this up because he wanted to be nice to the Gentiles. He received it from Jesus himself in this discourse that we hear from the upper room. In these words, Christ himself gives us a job description, as it were, for the Holy Spirit, the helper. What we are to expect from this Spirit. And when he comes, says Jesus, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. That's what the Spirit does. It's worth pointing out here that the helper's job, says Jesus, is to convict, to reprove and rebuke, to argue. These are all ways of translating this Greek word here. Jesus is telling us that the helper must rebuke us into believing things that we would otherwise not believe, indeed, that we could not otherwise believe. Faith in Christ is not something that arises within us naturally, but it must be rebuked into us. It must be worked into us from outside of us through the Word. For example, Jesus says that the Spirit has to argue and convince us of our sins. Without the helper, I suppose we might admit our imperfections, but we would never reach Christian repentance. By our natural powers, one might feel regret and remorse, but only by the Spirit can one repent. That is, have a contrite heart that believes that sins are forgiven for Christ's sake. As it says, the natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them, because they are spiritually discerned, that is, discerned by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, whenever there is repentance and faith, there one has the Holy Spirit. And contrariwise, wherever there is no repentance, no faith, then there is no Holy Spirit, no matter how spiritual or upright or impressive someone might seem. We might think that our sins should be obvious, but Jesus says that the Spirit has to convince us of sin, convince the world of sin. In fact, we can only know our sin by the Spirit working through the Word. Jesus tells us today that the chief sin, the root of all sin, that which the Holy Spirit must convict, is unbelief. Unbelief to the core. He will convict the world of sin because they do not believe in me. You see, the worst sin of all the absolute worst sin that anyone could commit is not sodomy, it's not sexism, it's not murder or abortion, murder of the unborn, it's not rape, it's not slavery or racism or theft, all of which are sins, but the worst sin of all is not to believe in Jesus, is not to believe the one the Father sent. In fact, all of the problems in all the world, all the sins that people commit against themselves and against one another, have at their core one common cause: unbelief, a failure to love God, fear Him, and trust in Him. It's unbelief, you see, that causes your despair. It's unbelief that causes your fear. It's unbelief that causes your anger. It's unbelief that causes you to be so inconsiderate and hard to live with. It's unbelief that makes you think that you are owed better. It's unbelief that you wrestle against every single day. It's unbelief that makes you take up matters into your own hands. It's unbelief that you grow impatient. And so, impatient for help, we wallow in despair. Impatient for justice, we resort to anger. Impatient for love, we settle for lust. And impatient for heaven, we will make the most out of hell. Repent and believe. You are baptized. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, has come to you too. He has not left you in unbelief, but has reproved it and convinced you of the righteousness of Jesus Christ that is yours. God has purchased you by His blood and washed you in His name. He departed for a little while, but when He died, but when He rose on the third day, He came back to you alive and has sent you the Helper, the Holy Spirit, who daily sanctifies you and makes you holy through the forgiveness of your sins. The Helper takes all that belongs to Jesus, His kingdom, grace, righteousness, sonship, inheritance, peace, comfort, joy, hope, all these things, and delivers them to you every day through the promise of your baptism, through the promises and of the words of God. Every day, the Spirit brings to you Jesus and gives you what is His, so that in turn Christ may bring you before His Father, a holy and righteous bride. This is life in the Holy Spirit. This is what you are to expect the Holy Spirit to be doing in your life, to be always driving you to believe in Jesus, to confess your sins, and cling to Christ. We know that the Holy Spirit is always at work in the Word. I hope you know that. I hope you believe that. But do we sometimes forget what the Helper's work is? Do we expect Him to do things for us that God has not promised He will do? When we come to church or read our Bible, are we expecting the Holy Spirit to do these things or something else? But Jesus says this is what you are supposed to expect: to be constantly convicted and convinced of your sin, to have your unbelief exposed, to be shown and given Christ's righteousness and the forgiveness of sins, and to be comforted, listen to this, to be comforted by the reality of the judgment of this world's prince. You see, the Spirit not only convinces us that we're sinners, and convinces us that we have righteousness in Christ, but he also convinces us that the devil is judged and cannot prevail. We need the Spirit to do that in our lives as well, so that we may rejoice in that and expect these things. Left to ourselves, we would fall away. We always need the Helper to be convicting us, showing us the righteousness that Christ won for us that is ours, and to comfort us by urging us to see as we leave this place and go out into the world and hear about all the terrible things that are happening and about how our children can be terrible even on Mother's Day, but to see, contrary to everything I experience, that the ruler of this world, the devil, has been judged and his days are cut short. And so the psalmist gives thanks and says, "O sing to the Lord a new song, for he has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations." May God grant us also to see it and to sing a new song of the gospel through the Helper convicting and urging us through the word. In the name of Jesus, amen.